that it makes some kind of sense, Lord. I pray for the people that did not were not here, Lord, just that they're safe and you are around them. In Jesus' name, amen. You what?
Say hello to my grandmother.
Say hello to, okay, P.S. Lord, say hello to Jesse's grandma. All right, so, and I think I've asked this before, is Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians, the first Corinthians, the first one. Why did he write it?
To help them.
To threaten them. A little bit of both, right? Because he heard about things that they were doing, and they were doing it wrong. So it's a letter of correction. But also, I don't know if you remember, but the Corinthians people, some members of the Corinthian church, they wrote a letter to Paul asking certain questions. So he did kind of both in this one letter, you know, to instruction letter. You know, he did things he heard about, plus answering questions on what to do on certain things. So 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 16, this is the last chapter of the book. Verse 1. Jesse, can you read that, please? All right, so now the first two words, what can that tell us?
He's very
very concerned. It says, now concerning. So if somebody says, now concerning this, that kind of means that you guys ask the question, right?
Yeah.
You guys ask a question, and it goes, okay, I'm finally getting to this. It's now concerning the collection. Now, the collection was an offering that Paul asked believers so that they could help out the Christians in Jerusalem. Now, we know in the book of Acts, actually Acts chapter 11, and also in history, at this point in time, there was a great famine. Doesn't mean, you know, the word great doesn't mean, oh, it's awesome. No, it means that it's wide and it's widespread. And unfortunately, there was several starved to death. Famine, we all know that means that there's not any food in the land. So there was a great famine at the time. So with that, we know that they needed help. So that's why this collection. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, Cassia.
Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Okay, so the law of Christ, right? The law of Christ is to love one another. He talks about, when in the New Testament, it talks about the two great commandments. The first is to love God. Second is to anybody know? Love what?
Love neighbor.
Yes. Love your neighbor as yourself. I didn't hear you.
I thought it was wrong.
You were right, though. So love others is to fulfill the law of Christ. So we should want to help yourself, right? No. Help others, right? So let's look at who Paul is asking the Corinthians to help. Now, who did I say he was helping out?
Who? Paul?
What? Yeah, well, what is the collection for? What? For the Corinthians in Jerusalem? For the saints, yes. But the saints are the Christians in Jerusalem. And so the ones in Jerusalem, what do you think that church would have been mainly made up of?
Jewish people.
Exactly right. So it would have been mainly mostly Jewish. Now, in Corinth, that's where the Corinthians took church, what do you think, what group do you think mainly made up that church? Right, the other people, the Gentiles. So, and as we all know at this point, and something is hard to figure out right now, is because you think, oh, well, they're both Christians, it's cool, right? But it's still, it hasn't been that long that to the Jewish people, Gentiles could not be saved. That they felt like, oh, well, you know, they're only good for one thing, and that is to fuel the fires of hell. That's their typical viewpoint, huh? Yeah, it's so, I mean, but they've been taught this since they were a baby. It's like their dad, don't like Gentiles. And, you know, I don't know. I'm probably over-exaggerating, but they did have that viewpoint. Typically, I'm sure that there was some Jewish people that loved Gentiles and Gentiles like Jewish people. But for the most part, this was a new idea of Gentiles being saved. What?
I was gonna compare it to a thing, but I
realized
I probably shouldn't.
Okay, we'll put pin in that, right? So not a lot of love between these two groups. So Paul is asking the churches, not just the church in Corinth, but churches like Corinth, to help those who may or had a good chance of not even liking them. Right? Plus, at this point, Jerusalem's way over here, Corinth's way over here, and at this time, even if it was a couple thousand miles, travel wasn't like everybody did it, right? So they weren't even living close to each other. There was little to no chance that they would get a thank you. But Paul's still asking them to help them out. In Luke 6, 31, Jesse, can you read that? All right, so this is known as a name nowadays.
The golden rule.
The golden rule, right? Do unto others as you wish them do unto you. So, if somebody was rude to you, just really rude, what is your natural instinct to do back to them?
Cry.
Get them all wet. Just, ah!
Flick my tears into their eyes.
Right? Taste the salt.
Your eyes.
Now, if somebody's really kind to you, what is your natural instinct?
Cry.
But it's a happy cry.
Try being nice and make fun of me, like,
why are you being nice to me?
Why are you being nice to me? Are you being backhanded? Are you trying to guess me? No, I'm just being nice to you. Be upright.
Oh. So normal people are nice back when people are nice to them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what we should do, right? One can only imagine the reaction of these Jewish people, what felt like Gentiles were pretty much worthless, but right now they needed help. And who was there to help them? The Gentiles. Right? So, here's the thing, is kindness is not a one-way street. So, both groups were changing how they perceived the other group. Even though you say, oh, well, the Jewish ones should for sure because they're receiving kindness, but the Gentiles too, by giving kindness. You know, if you're kind to somebody, it changes your viewpoint on them because you start liking them. In Proverbs 11:25, Cassia?
The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered.
Okay. Psychology Today has done many studies. They'll tell you that they have. Oh, we study this. And they'll tell you that helping others makes us feel better. I hate to break to them that God knew that from the very beginning. He didn't tell us, those who water will also be watered themselves. So we're not talking about the tears, what you flick on people. You're talking about those who bless others, they're going to be blessed. So God knew that. Helping others helps with depression or when you're sad. If you're helping others, it makes you feel better about yourself. In 1 Corinthians 16, 2 through 4, all right, so there's an old saying, I love old sayings, is that if you don't want to have any arguments, you don't want to have any of my arguments, don't talk about money, politics, or religion.
I think that's just a general rule.
It's just a rule. Where'd it come from? Old people would say it. You don't like kids, you don't like old people. Never mind, we won't get in that.
Just equally dislike everyone.
Oh, see, she's balanced. So we're in church, so we don't talk about religion. I just thought this aisle was really long. I had to sit down. Now, politics, our politic views should reflect on what we believe in. And then sometimes the Bible talks about money. Now, people get very weird about money. And I feel like a lot of times people do not like talking about it because they don't want to be taken advantage of. And unfortunately, over the years, and actually even still goes on, there are some churches and there's some people that have been taken advantage of. So it's kind of like a sore subject. Yes?
I just don't like money. I don't think money should exist. We should go back to trading.
You can paint stuff on the eggs to give to people.
So Easter?
Exactly. You'd make it big during March, right? But people don't like being taken advantage of, right? But this, all that could be avoided if we just follow the way Paul instructs them to collect. And what he does is that it's not according to their means, or it is according to their means. Meaning, if you don't make so much, you don't have to give so much. If you make a lot, you can give more. But what it is it's what you feel like. You know, it's between you and God. And there shouldn't be any pressure from other people for you to give more or to give less. It's not about that. God just, like I said, it's between you. It's the gift. It's what you feel you being led to do. Now, Paul doesn't want, he says that he wants them to do this and get it all collected before he shows up, because he doesn't want to be influenced. He doesn't want to be sitting right next to you and going, oh, is that all you're given? You know, and Paul, they love Paul. They think he's a great man. So he'd be a big influence if he was there and he asked for a collection. So he doesn't want that influence. So he wants to give. He wants people to give from their heart. And he also wants to be accountable. He wants the people who are giving the offering to decide who they want to send with them, so they know where that money is going. And Paul's not just taking it for himself, you know, putting it into his new car fund. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Paul asked the people to deliver it, the offering, straight to Jerusalem. And I'm sure he would mean that when they came back, they'd be like, okay, yes, Paul, we took it for the needy, and the need, there's a lot of need in Jerusalem. Now, if we don't have any money, if Cassia gets her wish and money's no longer, what are some other ways we could help other people?
Say we go back to trading, you know, hypothetically speaking. If someone that, like, is like, hey, I don't have, like, what I need to get what I need for, like, my sick child who's dying on their deathbed, you could give your own medicine to them, you know?
Right. So give something you already have.
Yeah, for free.
For free.
For ownership of the child.
Only when they turn 18.
Yeah.
When they could work in the fields and be a slave. Fine.
Whoa.
I just stepped over the Browns. Now, if you give a child away, it's fine, as long as they're not a slave, right? Yeah.
I mean, it depends, I guess.
It depends. It depends. All right, but so, okay, giving something you already have, you're helping somebody out. You don't have any money to give them, go.
I'll give them a hug.
You'll give them a hug. Actually, that's a good way. Because cheering people up, being nice to somebody,
Spending
time with them. Yo, a shoulder to cry on.
Also depends on the person's love language.
Right?
Yeah, I'm so smart.
Their language, love language.
So if, huh? So, so, and when you're doing this, when you're talking to people and being out, so you're giving of your time, aren't you? Right? And giving of your time. So these are all ways that not necessary. And we can't think of just offering or giving as just about money. Because there's also other ways. There's a ton of ways we could help other people, right? Yes and no. I mean, money does a lot of things, but...
Imagine if we spent money, or not money. Imagine if we spent time as if it was money. Like, all right, I spent an hour with you, that means you owe me an hour and a half because they're even interest.
But sometimes people don't need money. They need somebody to care about them. Right? Because money won't fix everything. Oh, really?
Yeah, he's that rich. But he doesn't.
But he doesn't. Why is he doing with it all? Does he swim with it?
Probably. Literally, homelessness could be solved if you just try. He doesn't care.
Well, but like I said, there's a slippery slope. It's just because people don't just need. Yeah, that's another. I won't even. But so. In the chapter, we go from this. Next, Paul talks about his travel plans, his itinerary. He's telling people, well, I'm going to go here. I'm going to vacation in here. No, he's just telling them what's going on. Now, his travel plans.
Yeah,
Why is this in the Bible? I was asking myself yesterday. But what we can see, what we can learn from this, is Paul's character. And who he was. He wanted to come and visit the people in Corinth. Paul wanted a personal relationship with each one of them. He didn't want them just to hear the letters. You know, letters are nice, but it's not really personal. It's just words on a piece of paper. Just like, what? It is cute, but if it was only letters, then you start wondering if you're being catfished, right? You don't?
Sure.
You wouldn't know that person personally if Elena and Noah never, you know, were in the same room together. They'd probably never get married, right? It'd be all letters, nice and sweet, but you know, there wouldn't be any personal relationship. And that's what Paul wanted. Just I think I've heard of it happening, but that ruins my example of letters are horrible. No, letters are good, but in person you get that feeling that somebody really cares about you, right? And God wants that same thing. You know, God wants us to read the Bible, but he doesn't want us just to read the Bible. He wants a personal relationship with us. He wants us to talk to him, to pray to him, ask questions. He wants that personal relationship with each and one of us, each and every one of us. Also, we see that Paul cares about the well-being of fellow workers. He talks about Timothy coming. He talks about Apollos being wanting to come. He lets the Corinthians know they love him and please take care of him. Just like God, again, just like God, how he loves those who do his work. 1 Corinthians, we're going to jump to verse 13 and 14. And it's been a while, so I forgot where we were, Cassia. Right?
It's oh. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and strong, let all that you do be done with love.
So watch. Beware of your surroundings. You know, kind of like a watch tower. You need to know what's going around us. Right? If you're doing good, keep it up. Right? But if you're doing bad or you see something bad about to happen, change it. Stand fast. You know, not laying down. You're not resting. You're not at ease. But you're standing. So you're ready. You are prepared to leap into action if your faith is challenged. Now, don't be afraid. Be brave. We can't be afraid out there. We need to be brave. And then, but if somebody comes against us, that doesn't change the fact that we're being brave. So we don't worry. So we're staying strong. But above all else, walk in love towards others. Paul talks about that there's these people what want to trip up other Christians. Don't know why, but they want to trip up other Christians. They want to change the doctrine. And they want to change the truth. But, you know, he's just a man, just like any other man was doing the work of God. And he wants them to not just, oh, I'm only listening to Paul. I'm only listening to Apollos. I'm only listening to Gary. I'm not listening to anybody else. That'd be awesome, but he wants them to know that we're all in it together, that we need to work together. And he tells them about old friends that once lived with them and now they're doing good and they miss them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 21, all right, salutation. So that means, you know, it's like the goodbye. I don't know. I didn't look up that word.
Salutations?
Yeah, it's like, it's like farewell, I think.
No, it's not. It's like a greeting.
It's a greeting and a farewell.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like aloha. In this case, it's the farewell. It's hello and goodbye. Hello, see ya. Salutations. Yeah, does. It's like, welcome, now leave. Okay, look it up. Yes, I didn't look it up, but that's the way I always took it. But, so what, huh?
It's a gesture or utterance made as a greeting or acknowledgement of another's arrival or departure.
Oh.
So it is both. Jesse was right.
Yeah.
So, why is this even a mention? Because at the beginning of the letter, this is actually Paul dictated this letter. So what does that mean, dictated? You know?
Dictator.
He's a dictator. No, it means that he's saying these words, but somebody else is actually physically writing them down.
Oh.
So he has like a secretary, right? And he... believe it's Guy, but he wrote down the words that Paul tells him to write down. Now, most scholars believe, because we believe that Paul had an eyesight problem, like a disease of the eyes, maybe from all the way back when he saw Jesus.
Blood in his eyes.
The bright sun, the glory of God blinded him for a little bit. But at this point, there was letters. And Paul's mission about there was these letters that these false teachers sent out and said, oh, well, this is from Paul. You know, you should give me money. Or whatever it was. But there were false letters. So Paul said, I'm writing this my own hand just to prove to the Corinthians, well, this is my letter. This is actually from me. Don't believe any other letter unless it's written from me. That is in my hand. So we need to test, we need to judge what we're being told. And the way we do that is we test it by the Word of God to make sure that it's being told correctly. In 1 Corinthians 16, 22 through 24, so Paul was, you would imagine that he's very upset. And he's always been very upset at people teaching a false doctrine. Then there's people that are pretending to be him and misleading people. He wasn't happy, right? He wasn't happy. Paul cared for the people and wanted them to be safe and saved. Not lied to, entrapped or tripped up into being not saved. Paul ends his letter with a warning about false teachers and that he wants the best for the people of Corinthians or the people of Corinth, and he loved them. Again, this is exactly what God is. It's a picture of God. Jesus hates those who trip up Christians. You know, he doesn't like people messing with his kids, right? He is very protective of us, and he wants the best for us, and he loves us that much. And it's a show, it's actually, you think, whoa, he's just being, oh, they're accursed. No, it's a sign of love, because he loves the people so much, he doesn't want them to be tripped up. He doesn't want them lied to. So we can remember that Jesus is there for us and protects us. Cassia, can you close us in prayer?